It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It's the Take Command podcast on a mailbag Monday. Happy Memorial Day. I hope everyone's getting to rest, relax, enjoy a long weekend and ultimately a short week. But we don't stop working. We got a mailbag full of questions to answer. Logan Paulson, I'm Craig Hoffman. How you doing, bud?
I'm good, man. Excited for Memorial Day. You know, excited to hang out with the family a little bit and also hang out with you, which is always a good time. So yeah,
always
very
good
fitting to do a mailbag on Memorial Day Monday.
Yeah, so love just getting to sit around, talk ball, enjoy it. It's not like it's nice outside right now anyway. It's supposed to be nice later, but it's like rainy and blah right now. So like, hope that clears up for your barbecue. Anyway, the point is we have questions. We got a wide receiver two question that I'm very excited to get deep in the weeds on in a second. But we're going to start off, Logan, with something that you in our production meeting called the most important question of the offseason slash perhaps the most important question of the season. It starts as a question from Ben, who listens to this show and the radio show and said a bunch of nice things and then said, I've been meaning to ask this since the schedule has been released. The strength of our schedule is obviously increased. We are playing much higher caliber teams and more primetime opportunities as opposed to last year. While I don't think the Commanders will necessarily take a step backwards, I do believe we may win less games. In my opinion, we will most likely get anywhere between 9 and 11 wins next season. While not bad, it's going to be harder for Jaden to follow up the year he just had. Do you agree with that? Are we going to necessarily be worse, but we may, or you, do you agree that while we are not necessarily going to be worse, we may win less games? And do you think by winning less games, people may claim Jaden is having a sophomore slump when in reality, the quality of teams we are playing is just better? Thanks again. Love the show. Keep up the good work. We also, Logan, got a similar question from Tim on Instagram, who said, while the team has raised the floor, do you think the national media is too high on the Commanders for this year? This is a team that wildly outperformed expectations last year, but has a much harder schedule this year and not the level of talent of the Eagles. So that was a lot of reading of words, Logan.
Yeah.
Is the strength of schedule, does it scare you?
So this is a really good question. It's a really good thought experiment. I think just for anything you're doing in life is like last year, like the thing that I had a special teams coach used to say this to me is past performance is not indicative of future results, right? So like last year was obviously a fantastic year. Jaden Daniels was amazing. The offense was amazing. The defense, I think, played above kind of what the national media's expectation was. The offensive line, same thing. And I think you saw kind of an understanding of that by Adam Peters specifically and going out and kind of making additions to the offensive line. We've talked about how I think the defensive additions are going to elevate the group in a way because they're going to just do what they're supposed to do and it's going to elevate the floor of that group. However, like because you're playing quote unquote better football teams, and you always do a great job of kind of pointing this out, you don't know like now how this, right, how the schedule is going to look out. But even if the teams weren't quote unquote better, like, what some of the stuff they did last year is very, very high variance, you know, like, and what I mean by that, it's, I keep going back to the fourth down conversion percentage, right? Like 87%, like that's diabolical. Like that's like an insane number to be thinking about, right? It's better than the tush push. It's better than all these great fourth down plays. And I look at that and I say to myself, like, that's going to go back to the mean. That's going to go, even if it decreases by 15%.
Yeah, even like if it's that, what the best fourth down offense is in a normal year, that was the best number since they basically started tracking the stat like 25 years ago or whatever it is.
Yeah, which is crazy, right? Same thing for third down percentages. I want to say they were third, but it's still 45%, which is very, very high. So you're not going to be able to possess the football as long. You're not going to be able to have as many bites as the apple. So like there is going to be a regression there, right? I look at Jaden Daniels' passing numbers, efficiency numbers, like they're still crazy high. And I don't care how good he is. Like, I expect that to come back to baseline a little bit. He'll still be playing well, I'm sure. He'll still protect the football, I'm sure. But what does that variance do to the offense? Then you say to yourself, okay, well, Adam Peters has gone out and brought in Laremy Tunsil. They've drafted Josh Connerly. Like, that should allow them to be a little bit more efficient running the football. They're going to be in more advantageous second down situations. Does that allow them to offset some of that variance you're seeing in the third down and fourth down regressions? Like, maybe, I would think so, but you don't know until you get there, right? Schematically, are they able to elevate offensively with the Jaden Daniels run game to offset some of that regression? Is Deebo Samuel's ability to create explosive plays on his own ability to going to offset that regression? Like, so those are the types of questions that I've been kicking around for weeks now, and I don't really have a great answer because, again, they got to go out and play the games. And I'm sure that one of the reasons Adam Peters was so aggressive with some of this stuff is because he understands that, right? I think Dan Quinn understands that. You need to get a more talented team to help offset some of these higher variance statistics, right? Can we be more consistent on first down? Like, that's a very rock-solid statistic. Can we be more consistent on second down? Those metrics tend to be more consistent from a mathematical standpoint. So that's where I'm looking at this offseason specifically is like, yes, strength of schedule has improved. How do you make sure that you're still an effective football team? It's when these other metrics regress, can we improve in other areas? Can we improve an explosive play percentage? I think they've taken steps to do that. It just depends on how much they're able to actualize that, I guess, is the thing that I keep coming back to. And I don't have a great answer because I haven't seen them play yet. I haven't seen them practice. We won't see that till Wednesday. But that's what I think the strength of schedule question is so interesting. The Jane Daniels regression question is so interesting because, yes, there will be a regression in some of these statistics, right? But does that mean he's playing any worse than he was last year? Probably not. But it might express itself as this sophomore slump, which I think is kind of tough for fans to understand. Like, even though he's playing well, it might not be as well mathematically as it was last year, which I think is the thing I'm having a hard time negotiating.
Yeah, let me try to unpack that more, because when you say it like that and you try to, like, if you say that sentence out loud, it kind of makes no sense. It's like, he could be playing as well, but he won't be playing as well. And it's like, what?
Yes,
How does that work? If you go through the same exact process on your end of it, but the defense's rush is better, and there's more tip balls. Okay, that's more incompletions. Tip balls both at the line of scrimmage, tip balls at the catch point. Like, okay, those, Jaden has done the same process, but the results are not as good. If he is taking more sacks because the pass rushes are better, because you're facing the Lions with Aiden Hutchinson, for instance, in week 10. Like, that obviously is going to impact the statistics. If you have balls that maybe last year went through guys' hands and fell incomplete because you had defensive backs on the other side who weren't as good as some of the ones you'll be playing this year, and those turn into interceptions, you lose bites at the apple. Your process is very similar, but the results are not as good. And those types of things obviously are very dependent on, like, the opportunities that you present the other team to make plays and their ability to convert on them. That's what makes good football players, is they convert on their opportunities. By the same token, they brought in guys to help raise what's going on here. And Jaden, hopefully with another, you know, yes, the league will have film on him, but he also has film on the league. And I'm sure they're spending some time anticipating what some of the changes might be. To me, this is like the one of the advantages of having a defensive head coach, where there's a ton of advantages for continuity's sake to having an offensive head coach. If I'm Dan Quinn, I'm having a lot of meetings with Cliff this offseason, being like, if I was trying to stop you based off what we did last year, here are some of the things. Let's be prepared to have our curveball ready to go. Let's have plan B ready to go. So, like, how does that process go? How smooth is it to get to the other things? How big is the bag that they have? Because obviously they were able to stay within a bag that Jaden performed really well at last year. Then you add in the personnel on this side of it. You know, he's running for his life at times last year because Brandon Coleman, as he gets banged up later in the year, his performance falls off. Now that's Laremy Tunsil. Sweet. That is better. The run game just died in the second half of last year from injuries and whatever else. And maybe this year it's better. Maybe this year it's worse. Who knows? Like, you face better run defenses, for instance. So there's just a lot of stuff that is circumstantial. Like, this is why football is so hard. Basketball, you know, there's just less people on the floor. Baseball, it's all these individual things. That's why the statistical revolution in baseball was so dramatic, was because every single pitch in a lot of ways is as isolated of an incident as you can have in sports. And so there's just too many factors to try to guess intelligently. And the second you figure something out, a coach makes an adjustment, a guy gets hurt, like, these things change. And so that's hopefully, I think, at least at the beginning of that ramble, I answered the, how do you play better or the same and also play worse at the same time question. But I think when you get into some of these variables and the variance of it all and some things that go your way, like, I think there's a lot of things where the Commanders can keep the pressure on and still be very, very good at a lot of the high variance things that were super high last year. But statistical, you know, regression math averages, science says that eventually they're going to come back down to earth in some of those areas.
Yeah, and I think the thing you called attention to there, which I think is great, is the schematic element. Obviously, like on paper, you've made these additions with certain people, right? And Laremy Tunsil's better than Brandon Coleman, right? And Brandon Coleman moving to guard makes the offensive line better. And you can kind of do that math. But also, I think, like, seeing what Cliff did and seeing what Joe Witt Jr. did and seeing what he could do with more consistent pieces in the defense, like, again, I think there's going to be an improvement there. I think the offense will be better. I think the defense will be better. I think the question is, like, how much you're going to see that in terms of wins and losses. Like, because, again, you're playing better quarterbacks. You're playing better defensive coordinators. Like, I think about the Minnesota Vikings and how befuddling that defense has been to top-flight quarterbacks over the course of the last 2 years, right? So I look at since Flores has been there, really, and I think to myself, like, how do you handle that? Like, again, and this offense that Cliff has presented is befuddling, and I think at Jaden Daniels and his ability and what he did in the playoff game and how sharp he looked, and I know they lost the game, but, like, how that moment wasn't too big from him. Like, I just think, like, as a player, it's really hard to be up for 17 weeks of football. It's really, really challenging to do that. And so last year, I'm not saying there were, like, easy games, like, because they're not. They're all tough. It's just the level of difficulty is ramped up a little bit. So can Cliff be locked in for 17 weeks? Can Joe Witt Jr. be locked in for 17 weeks? And most importantly, can the staff support Jane Daniels to be locked in for 17 weeks? Because one of the questions was asking about the primetime games. Like, I know Jaden is, like, built different, right? But, like, the mental fatigue that presents is really, really challenging. And I think we saw that a little bit with Houston and C.J. Stroud. Like, they ran it back. They had this great offensive innovator in Bobby Slowick. C.J. Stroud was, like, the second coming of, you know, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. Like, that's the way it looked. But the offensive line took a regression from a schematic standpoint, and that affected C.J. Stroud in a negative way. And C.J. Stroud was still very productive. But people looked and said, oh, he had a down year. But I'm like, there are mitigating circumstances to that. Data set, right?
Yeah, and so for CJ specifically, was compounding, right? Like, right. He started off the year still playing at a high level despite the circumstances, and eventually he just kind of broke. Like, he started missing throws. He's spraying throws that he used to hit. Also, he's got no one to throw to because Tank is hurt, Diggs gets hurt, Collins is hurt. Yep. And so, like, it became a thing where CJ was, you know, playing through it until the moment that he wasn't.
Yeah, I think that's the thing is, like, and I don't think anybody thought that Bobby Slowick was going to take a regression like that in terms of schematically elevating the way he did the year prior. So I think that's the other thing, like you talked about, Ken Cliff stay in his bag, continue to innovate, find new wrinkles for the offense. I think you brought up a great point. Like, that's the thing that Dan does such a great job of is self-scouting. Can they take advantage of this time? But I think that's where this next, I think there's a lot of fans that are really, and they should be really excited. This is an exciting time to be a Washington Commanders fan. But in my mind, I'm always like, man, there's all these things that they need to make sure they're checking the boxes of. And as that list gets longer and longer and longer, and even something we haven't talked about is, like, on paper, the offensive line should be better. But like we talked about with Golic, like that group needs to gel. Sometimes the best individual offensive lineman does not make the best five. Like, they just don't communicate well. They don't get along well, whatever it is. Like, some of the best offensive lines I played with were guys, like, in 2012, that offensive line was fantastic. And if you went through and looked at all of them, you're not like, oh my gosh, these guys are all pro Hall of Fame guys. No, it's guys that just played really well together and knew each other. Like, Tyler Plumbus played right tackle. Like, Corey Lichtensteiger played right guard for that team, right? He weighed, like, 265 pounds at some points that year. And he's a great football player, but nobody's like, you know, he's going to the Hall of Fame is Corey Lichtensteiger. Like,
no.
They just played
well. They had Trent and everybody else.
Yeah, and I think that's something. And Trent was still young at the time. You know, he wasn't kind of the dominant, you know, monolith for the position that he is now yet. He was close. I'm not trying to diminish what Trent was when he was here. But
yeah.
But I think that's stuff that's all so challenging. You mentioned how challenging is football. But when fans bring me this question, these are things like, how does the O-line come together? Does Cliff continue to improve? Does Joe Witt continue to improve? Does the free agency person along the defensive line play the way I think they're going to play? These are all questions that need to be answered. And then how do you handle tighter games? That's the other thing that we haven't even talked about is with more primetime games, right, there's pressure. But when you're playing better football teams, every week you're kind of walking that razor's edge. And the team did a great job of that last year. But it's going to be even more acute because good teams are used to winning in late game scenarios. So end of half scenarios, 2-minute situation, red zone becomes a little bit more difficult. How do you handle that? And then people say, well, that doesn't really affect Jaden, but it does, because he's going to have to perform in those situations the way a top flight, top five type quarterback does in the NFL. And if he doesn't, I think a lot of people are like, oh, look, he's regressed. But again, I don't know if that's necessarily fair, because the standard has improved so dramatically because of the opponents, because of the quarterbacks, because of the quality of the team.
The good news is they did all that stuff last year at a high level. Yeah. And, you know, does it feels impossible that they're going to be that good again. Like, are you going to win, what was it, 7 straight games in the final offensive possession? Like, that's ridiculous. But they have experience doing it. And Jaden has experience, and there's a high level of belief. And ultimately, like I've said this before too, I think on this show and certainly on the radio show, I'd rather have these problems than like the Giants problems or one of these teams, the Browns problems. Like, I don't want those problems. I don't want the, we don't know who our quarterback is, where our schedule is not that hard, but we're also not that good problems. Like, this is the burden of being a good team. The Ravens don't complain about their schedule. The Chiefs don't complain about their schedule. The Bills don't complain about their schedule. They go out and they play it and they win most of the games because they're better. And that is the echelon that the Washington Commanders, 2 years into the Jaden Daniels era, find themselves in. Athletic Football Show.
That point you bring up there is the crux of it, right? Is like, they did it for 1 year. Good teams do it year on year. And so how do you build a team and build a mindset, a cultural mindset to get that done? I think that's the thing. Maybe that is the underlying question to all of this, right? Is, are you ready to be a consistently good football team? Because it's different. It's different to do it once and do it multiple years in a row. And I think that to me is maybe the underlying, we talk about analytics and data and guys coming together and offensive innovation, but really, are you ready as a team and as a staff to be good year on year for the next 5 years while Jaden Daniels is on his rookie contract?
Yeah. And it's organizational too. It's like, is everybody, like, people that we don't even know exist, are they doing their jobs at a high level? Like, that's kind of the secret sauce of it. And, you know, I was about to say, the Athletic Football Show is doing their, like, questions of the buy or sell series, and they're lumping all the teams together. I'm pretty sure they have the Commanders in the contenders tier. Like, they're already there. And, you know, you got all these national rankings starting to come out about quarterbacks, and Jaden, you know, Mike Clay from ESPN, you know, had his fantasy rankings. Jaden's number one quarterback. Mina Kimes did her quarterback ranking show with Ollie Connolly. And after the big four, Jaden came off the board 5th. And like, I think that's the correct answer. I think I think he is the best quarterback in the NFC. And that automatically is going to put you in contention because you have the best quarterback in the conference. And the Eagles are great, better roster. I'd rather be the Eagles just roster wise, the whole of the talent, the way the pieces fit together, the strength on the lines of scrimmage. But Jaden is fantastic. I don't think any team acquired a player in the offseason better than Laremy Tunsil, any team anywhere in the whole league. And if you frame it that way, it is very easy to be optimistic. So you're telling me you got the best quarterback in the conference, just got one of the 3 best left tackles in the sport, and also there's a trickle down that we hope is going to affect the rest of the offensive line positively, and they're going to be more consistently up front defensively. Like, if I tell you those 3 things, then off a team that was 12-5 and went to the NFC Championship game last year, then it's really easy to be like, okay, I feel great about this Washington Commanders team. But I think it's also easy to pick apart, like, okay, well, how did they go 12-5 last year? They wildly overperformed expectations. They had historical greatness in very high variance areas. Like, there's a lot of ways you can pick it apart. And that is, I think, more than anything else, Logan, like, that's May in the NFL. Unless you are a team that is DOA, where you're just like, our roster is not good enough at all. There's no real hope that our quarterback is good. And so, like, basically, sorry, Cleveland, it's kind of the Browns, right? There is almost no scenario where you look at the Cleveland Browns in 2025 and they're good.
Right.
And okay. But like, the Titans even are looking at Cam Ward and they're like, what if he's Jaden Daniels?
Right.
Like, every other team in the league, if you squint hard enough, you could see how it goes sideways and how it goes great. And it's just playing the percentages in terms of, you know, if you're betting on the over-unders of which way you think it's going to go.
But I think that this is a great point that you brought up, maybe by accident. But I think you look at the teams in the NFL that have, like, the guys, you know, you look at your Josh Allens, you look at your Lamar Jacksons, you look at your Patrick Mahomes, you look at your Joe Burrows, right? The big four. Like, they're going to be good. They're going to find a way to be good, especially if Cincinnati gets the defense fixed, right? And so I think maybe that that is maybe, you know, we talked about, is the team ready to be consistently good? Is Jaden Daniels ready to be that guy? You know, because we talk about Josh Allen all the time. We talk about Joe Burrow too. Like, it took those guys a couple of years to kind of figure it out. You know, Josh Allen was a 3-year cycle. Lamar was kind of like that year and a half kind of learning curve. And so it does take time to kind of like be a consistent winner and be that dominant force in the NFL. And so maybe that's another question I have, is like, that's a big ask for a young guy. And I was just thinking about it when we were getting ready for the show. I have never been more impressed with a rookie football player in my entire life watching a team. Like, he was that good. But it's a different thing to take it from that 1 year and say, I am going to be, again, I'm going to say Tom Brady, whoever, insert your
man. Let's say Mahomes, because the one guy who didn't need time was Mahomes. Like, he
sat for a year, but
he sat for a year. He was good in the one game he played, but then he comes in year two, and like, it was very different for him, because year one of him playing, year two of him in the league, like, he was doing a lot of running around with a chicken with his head cut off. They had a lot of deep stuff.
Pretty good.
Yeah, the roster was great. He was just throwing the ball long to Tyreek. Like, it's going great for him. And then he has become this like super computer, just dice you all over the place. The offense is way more structured now. So he's evolved as a player. Jaden had, you know, stretches like that last year where he's just making stuff up, making it happen, Sandlot style.
Incredible. Like, again, like we said, like, there's nobody, like, we love him, and there's nobody better, right? In terms of like rookie performance, but it's a different level to go and be, I'm consistently this guy now. I'm the guy that's going to make $70 million in 5 years. Like, it's a different ball of wax. And so I think, is the team ready? Really, is he ready? And again, like, every indication would say yes, but like, that's the, I mean, ultimately that's like what we're talking about.
And I think my optimism for him comes from the fact that like, when he did that stuff, it's because he had to, for the most part. I mean, he's vacating empty pockets and stuff occasionally, but every quarterback does that. Like, Lamar does that. But when he was allowed to sit back in the pocket, he was awesome in structure too. Yeah. And so that's what gives me, I think, the hope that it's going to be really, really good and there's not going to be a huge regression. But what does that mean for the team? What does that mean for the win total based off of the opponents, based off of where the rest of the roster is? I think that's a giant TBD, because it's May and the season doesn't start till September.
It's May. We haven't even watched a practice yet. So like, this is, but these are concerns. These are questions that we all have. And I think it's good to talk about them. The thing that I go back to is always like, Vegas is really good at predicting win loss totals. They're at 8.5 right now. And I think they've looked at these questions and they probably say, like, mathematically, like, even the one score game thing, I forgot about that when we were talking at the top of the show. Like, that is a statistic that every year regresses to the mean, right? You don't normally win 7 out of 8. It's pretty much 50-50 all the time, right? So if that regresses and they lose 3 more games, like, you're almost, you know, you're, what is that? You're at 9 right there just off of that.
Yeah. So you're 8.5. You're over, but not by much.
Yeah. And again, like, that doesn't mean, and again, like with the fourth down thing, like, there's a couple things in there that make you go, okay, but that's, and I'm really glad you brought this up. That's where the Cliff, that's where the Joe Witt Jr., that's where the offensive defensive staffs come in and really drive this thing. So ultimately, like, I think this, it kind of sits on, like, if I had to say 3 things, it's Jaden Daniels, it's the offensive staff, like, can you get that elevation, and like, how the team gels. And I know that's kind of a soft kind of eval, but like, I'll tell you, man, some of the best teams I played on were just, they just figured it out. They just gelled in the right way. And I can't really give you the magic formula for why or why not it does happen. But I will say, if there's a guy that I'm going to bet on that's going to make it happen, it's Dan Quinn. And like, because we talked about this a ton, like, his ability to create culture, to create locker rooms, to create cohesion is extremely high. And you've got guys like Zach, you've got guys like Bobby, you've got guys like Austin that have been there, done that. And Jaden Daniels as a leader in his own
Debo
right now.
Debo knows nothing but success in San Francisco till last season, basically.
So like, if you can get it all together, and if there's one guy that can stir it up and make it happen, it's Dan Quinn. So again, I'm probably leaning over just because I trust him so much. I trust the character and composition of Jaden Daniels, but I think there's a lot of questions about it, you know, just from a math standpoint that make you say, hey, and again, like, he might be, Jaden Daniels might be better this year. He might have a higher percentage of big time throws. He might be better in terms of big time throws on first down, or, you know, average depth of target, some of those advanced kind of quarterback metrics, but they might lose less games. And so I think that's ultimately what you're at. And I kind of expect them to lose I expect to lose more games, excuse me. And I expect them to lose more games, but can they make the playoffs? And then can you make a run? And that's really what I'm kind of hoping for as a Commanders fan this year.
And like you said, we haven't even watched a practice yet, but we watch one on Wednesday. So we'll know everything, all the answers by Thursday. So make sure you tune in later.